To Matthew chapter 14. Now, so far I've been talking from Romans chapter 10. The past few weeks I've been talking about the primary attribute of believing. Before that I was talking basically about the primary fault of religion. I also mentioned that I was going to talk about Paul's primary concern for Israel, which, God willing, I will do, but not this morning. This passage that I'm going to read this morning has been on my mind in particular for about 3 weeks now. And I can't seem to get away from it. My mind keeps going back to it in spite of the fact that we're on Romans chapter 10. And then I began reading it in particular, you know. I mean, I've always been familiar with the account. See, I don't want to say a story. I try not to say story. I seriously do. But I'm familiar with the account, but I began to read it. And you see, sometimes when you just say, I need to read this, you know, then sometimes things just jump out at you, you know,
yes,
so to speak. Even though I am quite familiar with the account. And here's the account, and it's quite lengthy, but let me read the whole part. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. And this is kind of, Christ has fed a multitude, a bunch of people. 5,000 men, okay, beside women and children, that's the verse before. And then verse 22 is continuing. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They talk about it's a ghost. That's what they were talking about. And it would have been good, it would have been perfectly okay for them to translate it here, ghost,
yeah,
and not necessarily spirit. Mm-hmm. They thought they'd seen an apparition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they'd seen saying, troubled, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We even sing a song that has those words in it.
Yes, sir.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water,
yes, sir,
to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now this passage has been on my mind, as I said, for about 3 weeks. I mean, on my mind in particular, just like every time I'd go to study on Romans 10 and look at my notes, that my mind would be constantly being drawn back to this passage. And then there were other circumstances that took place as well. And someone may want to say, what kind of circumstances? I'm not going into the detail of those circumstances. Well, that doesn't matter. The point is, there are often times that I must, of necessity, preach about certain things that take place. There are times when I wish there were certain people here to hear what Joe and I have to say, but that's not up to me in any way, shape, or form. But these things are on my mind. And what I want to try to talk to you about this morning for the next about 45 minutes is walking on water. Now, let me say that this is probably one of those stories that are in one of those book you was talking about. It says the Bible story, I think that's what you're talking about. It's a standard book. But almost everyone, at least people who went to church, especially those who've been in Sunday school for any length of time, know about Peter's walking on the water.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me try to put it to you this way, so that you'll kind of get the way in which I am viewing this passage, as it is different from the way most people view this passage. It may be even the way someone here this morning views this passage. Let me just give it to you. The religious world looks at this passage as what not to do when walking on the water.
Right?
Yeah. Here's what not to do when you're walking on the water, because it don't work.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
the way this is usually preached. Here's what not to do when you're walking on the water. I believe this passage teaches what happens when we try to walk on the water. The way this passage came to my attention, at least in the, you know, the physical form of it, was I heard Tim James preaching a message on looking unto Jesus. We may still have it up here, I don't know. But I listened to that passage, you know, that message over and over again. But there's one statement he made, and I guess it's kind of what drew my mind to this account. He said this, walking on the water. Walking, think of it, walking on the water. He said, have you ever tried that? And then what he said, this phrase is what caught me to think about this. He said, I sink every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about that. Now that was his own personal confession. But when I heard that, even for the first time, then as I kept listening to that one message, that phrase kept banging into my mind, in my heart. So I went back here and looked, and I realized there's a lot more here than what I thought there was when it comes to walking on the water. Walking on the water. And Tim says, I sink every time.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. The truth of Scripture is, every time you and I try to walk on the water, you're going to go down.
Exactly.
And there's some reasons. This ain't my personal opinion. Okay? Now, it is my opinion, but I believe it's my opinion based upon the truth of the Scripture as it is recorded here. Let me give it to you again. The religious world looks at this passage as what not to do when walking on the water. This is how to be able to not only walk on the water. Peter did that, right? It says, and he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water. Now, did he walk on the water or not? He walked on the water, right? So it's not a matter. The religious world, though, looks at it as, here's what not to do when you're walking on the water. Okay? But again, I say, I believe it teaches what happens when we try to walk on the water.
Yeah.
Now, let me just jump ahead, and you'll see why I'm facing this way. If it was intended that Peter start practicing walking on the water, why did he then not, once he was delivered, and our Lord says, reach out and laid hold of him with his hand, right? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And what does it say? And he lifted him up, and Peter continued to walk on the water. Is that what it says? What does it say? Peter was brought back to where he should have stayed in the first place. He was taken back to the boat. Huh? Why? You say, but it don't say, it does say that. It starts out by saying this. Fellas, get in a boat.
That's exactly right.
And go to the other side.
That's the way it starts. That's it.
He constrained them.
Yeah.
Get in a ship.
Yeah.
And go to the other side. So what ought we to do? If Christ says get in the boat, get in the boat. And what else? Stay there.
Amen.
Don't try walking on the water. Now that's a little bit different than what you've probably always heard, ain't it?
Exactly.
Huh? You see, certainly there's things we ought to do or ought not to do. Right?
No way.
Certainly there are things we ought to do and ought not to do. I'm not totally criticizing that when men say, well, the religious world says, here's what not to do when walking on the water. Well, it would be best when walking on the water if you kept your eyes where you're supposed to keep your eyes. You know? But the problem is, we don't.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
We can't.
That's it.
You know?
Exactly.
These waves, the wind was boisterous. It wasn't just a couple little wisps.
Yeah.
This was a storm.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a one of us here that's come through every storm unscathed. Every time we've stepped out of the boat and stepped onto the water, eventually, sometime or another, we're going to begin to go down. So again, certainly I say there are things we ought to do or ought not to do. What happened here? Look at the account. I know there's a whole lot more here than what I'll get to, but Peter looked at the circumstances, didn't he?
Yeah,
he ought not to have done that. But he did.
Exactly.
He did. Think of it. We fear the circumstances. Now there is every indication. Yes, Peter was going to him on the water. And evidently Peter got pretty close.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because when he seen the waves boisterous, strong is another way. I got it to the center reference. It's strong. That's what it's talking. These were massive winds. He was so close, though, Joe, that when he went down, all Christ had to do was reach out and grab a hold of him. Right?
Yeah.
I can infer that from this because that's what it says took place here. But the problem is, Peter, what does it say? And he said, come. And Peter, when he's come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous. The problem is, all too often we fear the circumstances, don't we? We're not, and I know there are people who will say, well, he took his eyes off of Jesus. I used to be taught that. It doesn't say he took his eyes off of Jesus. I don't believe a believer, I'm talking about a born-again believer, ever really takes their eyes off of Jesus. The problem is, while we're looking at Jesus, we look around at everything else as well. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that Peter quit looking at Jesus. It doesn't even say he was looking at Jesus. He got on the water, and bless his soul, he was walking on the water, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he began to go down, right? It says, and beginning to sink. Now, the fact that we fear the circumstances, even though we know better, because we know all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now you and I are just like Peter when we try walking on the water.
Yeah.
Eventually we're going to look at the circumstances as well.
That's it.
We're going to look at them. Here's the thing. We seek, not only do we fear the circumstances, and while it doesn't say here that Peter did this, this is a fact of our life. We fear the circumstances, but we also, in fearing the circumstances, we seek to avoid the circumstances.
Yeah, right?
Or we seek to get out from under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the wind would have just stopped,
yeah.
Right?
Boy.
Well, the wind finally did stop. When? When he got back in the boat.
That's it.
Huh? That's when the wind stops. Now, you know, you can't take this too far. I'm not saying that when you're where you're supposed to be, everything's going to be fine. But there's a point to be made here. Okay? And one of the point is, unbelief or doubt is not always manifest in immorality.
Yeah.
Now, it is manifest in immorality. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to justify that. But I'm saying here, Peter, this has nothing to do with immorality. It has to do with doubt.
Yeah.
And the doubt is what? Fearing the circumstances. Looking at the circumstances. And this is what the book basically says to us about circumstances. Romans chapter 8. And it's, part of what I already quoted, that one verse of it. And we probably everyone here is familiar, heard this verse before. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I know that, but I don't always conduct myself according to that knowledge.
Exactly.
I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching to you. I'm not here as your high example. I'm here to say I'm just like you are.
Exactly.
And every time I've tried stepping out on the water, eventually I've looked at the waves and I begin to sink. But we know that's not the end of the story. So I'm going to use that word. I'm going to use it. It's not the end of the account, though, is it? Because we do know all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
Even when you don't remember it.
Yep.
Okay, but let's go on. Go on down then to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
Yeah.
Or distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Which one of us here this morning are praying for one of these things? Huh? What do we pray for concerning things like this? To get out from under them. Right? When the waves are boisterous, we want out from... Let the waves stop. They're not going to stop until you learn the whole lesson. You see? They're not going to stop until God's sovereign providence has brought us to where we're supposed to have been brought.
Yes, sir.
And we're not here to walk on the water.
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Peter never walked on the water again, as far as we know. That didn't become a common debt. Well, all I got to do is not worry about the wind now. I got this down. Huh? Right? Did Peter try it again? I bet you Peter was glad to be back in the boat.
Amen.
Huh? He was glad to be back in the boat. Which one of us prays for these kind of things? These are circumstances, right? And they're actually, David, negative circumstances. But here's it. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. God ordains the boisterous wind.
Amen.
That boisterous wind was there because Christ made it be there.
Yeah.
And our circumstances are there because God Almighty ordained them to be there. But we ought not look at the circumstances. We ought to look to Christ always and at Him always. We ought not fear the circumstances. But we do. Right? Look, nay, in all these things. Notice the wording, in it. Not once we're brought out of it, we're more than conquerors, but nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Yeah.
Now let me say this, Peter, there was nothing wrong with Peter walking on the water, was it? The problem was he feared the circumstances surrounding him, wasn't it? But let me tell you something. God has not ordained the normal operation of faith to be walking on the water.
Exactly.
Faith obeys the command of Christ. When he says, get in the boat, you get in the boat.
Yeah.
If he says, get in the boat and go to the other side, well, but what's wrong with stopping off over at maybe Tyneside while we're here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It don't say not to. Oh, he said, get in the boat, go to the other side. What should we do when God's word says, do this and go to that destiny, go to that place, do that thing? What should we do, Joe? Right. Exactly what we're told to do and don't deviate from it.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
And part of me don't like keep saying it, but we do.
Exactly. You're right.
But we do. Now back to Matthew chapter 14 again. Some suggest, as I said, that Peter stopped looking at Christ, but it doesn't say that.
No.
But it does let us know what he did see or fear, right?
Exactly.
It says, but when he saw the wind, boisterous. Now, it doesn't say here, you know, what does wind do? A boisterous wind. It wants to knock you off your feet.
Exactly.
Doesn't it? Now, Peter was allowed and permitted. He was suffered by Christ. And I'll put it that way. He was suffered by Christ to walk on the water. But it doesn't say here Christ gave him perfect balance either.
Exactly.
Does it? Huh? See, that's our problem. The problem ain't time. At times, we, by faith, are suffered of God to step out of the boat and walk on the water, but we never have perfect balance. Think about that. That was Peter's problem. And when he seen the winds boisterous, he began to go down. You see, it's kind of like believers never stop looking. If you can quit looking at Christ, you don't know the Christ of God. If you can quit looking at him, if you can just abandon. Now, you may abandon the assembly. You may abandon your profession, but you can't abandon it down in here.
Amen.
You know, you may not be here when you ought to be, but Christ will be in here if he's there.
Amen. Exactly.
And you can't get rid of that.
Exactly.
You know? That's one. Just like when Jonah ran from God, he simply thought he was running from God. He ran into God.
Exactly.
You see? He ran into God. He wasn't running from God, Joe. He thought he was, but he wasn't. No, it's like this. Let me give you another to try to illustrate. There are people who teach that a believer can be out of fellowship with Christ. You ever heard that? I was taught that years ago. Especially when you sin. Now, believers sin. They acknowledge believers sin. But you don't have to. It's not like, I mean, if you really muster up the oomph, you can not sin. It just don't last long. But you do that for a while. But here's the, but when you do sin, and especially when you don't confess it, then you're out. I was told that. Out of fellowship. If you're out of fellowship, that means you ain't got none.
That's
right.
That's exactly
right. Right? You're either in fellowship or you're out of fellowship.
Yeah.
Now here's one truth of Scripture. We sometimes do not have the fellowship with God that we ought to have.
Exactly.
But God fellowships us in and through his Son.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
Always. You see, if you look at John chapter 1, and let's just look at that. I mean, time's going by. 1 John, I'm sorry, not John. 1 John. Yeah. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And I was always taught that that means you sin. No, it's walking in darkness. Walking in darkness means you can't see at all.
Exactly.
If you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and I was always taught, what was you taught? I was taught walking in the light is to walk righteously, to walk in a good way, right? Uh-uh. Look, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. So the indication is there's sin present even when we walk in the light.
Amen.
Right? As a matter of fact, that's the only time you're going to know sin's present.
Exactly.
That's the only people, I should say, that's the only people who knows sin's really present are those who are walking in the light. Because what does the light do? It makes manifest.
Yes.
Because then he immediately says, if we say we have no sin, therefore I know walking in light is not to be sinless, is it? It's to walk in the light. It's to know you have sin. Huh?
Yes, sir.
It's to know that you do sin. That's what he goes on to say. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us.
Amen.
Even so, I say, Peter, a believer, let me just put it, a believer never cannot look to Jesus Christ, because that's what being a believer is.
Amen.
And let me tell you, every believer, when they try walking on water, will end up just like Peter. Eventually, they will begin to sink.
Yes, sir.
But what will happen?
There you go.
What will happen? And he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Save me. Yeah, as I say, there's a couple other areas here of things we ought to do. Okay, let me just put it this way, ought to do. Concerning the truth of God, Hebrews says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Yeah.
You see, when you hear Joe and I preach here, and I'm not just talking about just the preaching, When we fellowship in Christ, when we're talking about the Word of God, we ought to pay attention to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
We ought to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And this ain't hearsay. If you look at that context, it's the Word of God. It's what Christ spoke and the apostles spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. This book is not just sound advice, it's perfect advice.
Yes, sir.
It's perfect advice. The problem is, we don't listen very well.
That's true.
We hear, generally, we hear what we want to hear. That's what we hear. Or we hear what we feel we need to hear. You know? Here's another one concerning our walk. Somebody says, well, you don't have to mention that, do you? Right? I mean, come on, after all, we're not saved by our walk anyway, so what does it really matter? Let me tell you, when you get out on the water, you'll find out what it matters when you begin to go down. And you'll be forced to cry out, Lord, save me. But where's he going to save you? Where's he going to save you to? We always, yes, it's a glory to get saved from the wind and the waves, right? But where was he saved to?
Exactly.
To get back in the boat.
That's right.
Right? That's where Christ put him back. Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
Yep.
And now here's the point. Do you want to or not?
Exactly.
So that's all I can say beyond that.
Yeah.
Do you want to or not? Do you want to walk as you ought to? Because
exactly.
If you don't care, you don't know Christ.
That's it. Right.
If you don't care.
Yeah.
If it really, well, but I can ask him to forgive me. Yeah, you better be glad. But you don't come out of that state by asking him to forgive you.
Exactly.
You come out of that state by believing Christ. And you'll sin even when you believe Christ, and because he's your advocate, advocating for you, that's why you'll confess your sins.
Yes, sir.
Also this, concerning our growth. There's things we ought to do.
Yeah.
Now look at it, Hebrews chapter 5. I've got to move along. Hebrews chapter 5, and listen to what Paul says to some people here. And he's speaking of Christ, verse 11, Hebrews 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Why? Because they're just tough things. They're intrinsically tough on their own. God uses maybe big words. You know, we just can't get it. Is that what it is? No. What? Seeing you're dull of hearing.
Exactly. That's it.
And a lot of times that's our problem. We're dull of hearing. We hear what we want to hear.
Yes, sir.
Look. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He's saying, you're not growing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not growing. Time has so passed by that you ought to be able to teach other people.
Yeah.
Right? But you're unable to.
Yeah.
You got to have people teaching you. You got to be constantly reminded of these things over and over. Somebody says, what does it matter? Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Milk's not bad, but it's not enough.
Exactly.
You know, we do not remain with milk alone. Now we're to desire the sincere milk of the word. But for what reason? That ye may grow thereby.
Amen.
So then once you start growing, then you graduate eventually to what? You may not give up milk, but what do? You begin to eat the meat as well.
Yes, sir.
But everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, and that's where it just has to come by use, but don't be lazy.
Exactly.
Right? The difference between using something and not using is what? Laziness.
Amen.
Slack.
Yeah.
But reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And remember the context. The context here has nothing to do with morality as concerning immorality. It has to do with the truth of Christ, who he is.
Yes, sir.
Of some things are hard to be uttered because men are so prone not to listen. But once there is use, Once these senses are exercised, they can discern good and evil. What's true about Christ and what's not true about Christ. Yeah. And if that doesn't interest you, you've missed Christ.
Amen.
If it doesn't interest you, you've missed Christ. Now, there are many other things. There are many other things. The Bible is full of ought to's and should have, right? And these things are important. I am not belittling those things. I'm trying to point those things out, things we should have done or should not have done. But what about this? What else is, what about this walking on water? I will have to say with Tim James, when he says, have you ever tried that? I sink every time. First of all, why? Unbelief or doubt can be manifest in our most sincere and best efforts.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Exactly.
This wasn't some request for Peter to abandon all morality. Well, Lord, let me go out and party one night.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people like to do that rather than walk on the water.
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
they? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who cares about walking on the water? I want to go get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people live for that. You think they don't? There are people who work all week long just for those 2 days off. One to party, one to recuperate.
Yeah.
So you can start all back over again.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. This was a sincere effort. He even got permission.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got permission. Let me get back over there. Matthew chapter 14. Now somebody said, but if you got permission, then everything ought to be all right. Right? Maybe,
exactly.
Maybe not. But when it comes to walking on water, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because walking on water's above the norm.
Yeah.
It's not what anybody does, but God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now here's a couple things. Think about it. Peter here didn't say, Lord, I believe, but I got unbelief. Now see, I've quoted that verse over and over and over here lately. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Do we really get what the man was saying there? He is not saying, Lord, I believe, but I got unbelief. This ain't a confession of his unbelief. It does that.
Yeah.
This is a cry for help for his unbelief.
Amen. Exactly.
I don't like staying in this unbelief. I don't like having this unbelief. It's not, Lord, I believe, but I've got unbelief. No, it's, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But I'll tell you, there's times when you don't have time to even cry out that.
Yeah.
At least you don't feel like you do. When Peter began to sink, what did he say? Lord, I got unbelief. He said, Lord, save me. Sometimes that's all you can say. That's what you feel. That's all you got time you feel like to say. And let me tell you, that's the best thing to say when you begin to sink.
Exactly.
Ain't it? God doesn't ask for your theological opinion when you begin to sink.
Exactly.
Does he? Well, how much do you really want me to save you? If you really want saved, you'll say, Lord, save me, and you'll mean it. And you know what? He'll know it.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's allowed you to get there.
Exactly.
He suffered you to get there. Now, somebody said, but there's nothing wrong with Peter saying, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. Look at what it actually says. Now look at it. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So where was Jesus going? Was he just going to the other side? Where was Jesus going? He was going to meet them. Now if Jesus is going to meet you, what should you do? There you wait for him.
Exactly.
Huh? He's coming to you.
Yes, sir.
Just wait. But you know what? Wait. I just can't wait. The wind's too boisterous. I know I'm giving my own little thing here, but I'm talking about my story. Jesus is coming to me, but I can't wait. These circumstances just won't cut it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work. I can't get to where I need to be. The problem is because probably you're not in the boat. You've stepped out of the boat. You're trying to walk on the water. Well, here's what it says. Now look. Jesus was walking, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, seeing his spirit, and they cried out for fear. But what did Jesus do? He gave them a word, a reason not to fear.
Yes, sir.
Right? He said, but straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. And what did Peter say? Well, Lord, since it's you, I want to come to you. Is that what he said? Mm-mm. He said, Lord, if it's you.
Yeah.
Think about this. You see, walking on the water is not an attempt to test your faith, but an attempt to test God. You see what Peter did here? He didn't say, Lord, since it's you. Why did he say, Lord, let us all walk to you on the water? Why? Because, Lord, you're going to prove to me.
Yeah.
You're going to prove to me it's you. You know what Christ did?
Yeah, he did.
When he reached down and got a hold of him, when he began to sink, he reached down and got a hold of him, and he said, he lifted. You know what it say? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and what? Caught him.
Yeah.
Mason, he laid hold of Peter. He didn't just steady him, he caught him. And what did he do? And he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Doubt what? Doubt that he could walk on, he walked on the water.
Yeah.
What is his doubting here?
Yeah.
That's what most people, you doubted you could walk on the water. You can't. Don't you get that? You can't walk on water.
Exactly.
Don't you get that? But if Jesus is there, I can. Maybe, maybe not. Peter did, and then he didn't. You see what I'm saying? No, doubt what? Doubt me. I said, be not afraid. It's I. It's me. And Peter said, if it's you.
Yeah.
You see it? There's the doubt. There's the impatience. Jesus was coming to him, but it's not good enough. I want to go to you. That may be a noble thing. But if it takes walking on the water, you're going to sink. You're going to sink. You see, what I'm saying is, what did Christ command? Get in the ship.
Yeah.
So get in the ship.
Exactly.
And once you're in the ship, if he said get in the ship and go to the other side, what ought we to do?
Yeah.
Get in the ship and go to the other side. And when you see him approaching, what should we do? Wait till he gets there. Wait till he gets there. If Christ says get in the boat, why do you want to get out? That's what Peter wanted to do, get out of the boat, didn't he?
Yeah.
The boat's not good enough for me. It's all right for these others, but it ain't good enough for me. Huh? Right? Well, I know that little group up there. It's all right for them to be up there, kind of stuck there at that place, gathering together at chapel, but it's more for me. God's got to have something different for me. No, get in the boat and stay there.
Exactly.
Just stay there till you come to the other side. And if you see Jesus, just wait. If he told you to get in the boat and go to the other side, get in the boat and go to the other side. Enjoy the fellowship of the people you do have.
Exactly.
Huh? Again, I say, if Christ says get in the boat, why do we want to get out even to walk on the water?
Yeah, that's it.
Huh? Why do we want to get out even? Walking on the water, again, I say, isn't not an attempt to test our faith. It certainly ain't going to prove to God we got it. Peter didn't, did he?
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
And if the whole thing was for Peter to walk on the water, our Lord wouldn't have put him back in the boat. He'd have said, come on, Peter, let's me and you stroll to the other side. Is that what he did?
No, sir.
No, he took him and put him in the boat.
Yeah.
Get back where I told you to get. You know? And what happened when he got back in the boat? They all worshiped God together. Right? This is not an attempt to say private worship isn't important. That has nothing to do with that. But let me tell you something. God has strictly ordained public worship.
Yes, sir.
That's what he says to do.
Yes, sir.
Get in the boat, and once you're there, stay there till you get to where you're going. You see, walking on the water is always temporary.
Yeah.
It's always temporary. because you will eventually become impatient. I do. Now, maybe you're a better Christian than me, but you know what? You ain't if you think you are. That's right. It ain't because I think I'm something. I just know how miserable we are at it. How faulty we are at it. No, you might be better at some things than I am. I might be better at other things than you are, but ain't a one of us can walk on water.
Exactly.
And if you think you can, go out here and do it.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean literally. No, Peter literally walked on the water.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? But he went down. Why? Because that's not the norm. That's not the way God ordained for us to walk in this world. He didn't ordain for us to walk on the water. When you're on the water, get in the boat.
Yep.
He ordained boats for when you're on the water.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Think about it. Walking on the water demands. Eventually, you're going to doubt. Right? Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He doubted the whole process. Lord, if it be you. He done told him it was him, didn't he?
That's it.
Done told him it's him. No, walking on the water manifests our impatience. We're just not willing to wait. You know, we're rarely willing to wait. Did you know that?
That's it.
We're rarely willing to wait. Oh, we quote Romans 8:28, but we don't live it.
Exactly.
We don't live it. Think about this. Yes, it's true. It's true. Christ said, he said, Lord, if it be you, look what he said, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Did Christ not know he was going to sink?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. That's why he let him come out there.
Exactly.
Not so that he would walk on the water, but so he'd find out he can't.
Exactly.
Eventually, you're going to sink. Mm-hmm. You can't help but sink. Strong waves, fears, doubts. And then, but what happened? A sinking, or at least a beginning to sink. And what's going to happen? It's going to be the same thing all the time, a cry for salvation and a catch by the hand of Christ. You see, if you're His, He won't let you go all the way down.
Exactly.
Because He's the one that lets you get out there to start with. To teach you what lesson? That you can walk on water? It's to teach us that you can't walk on water. Because if he could, from that time forth, Peter should have been able to stroll across anybody of blue.
Right.
Shouldn't he? Huh?
Well, that's it.
We're never told Peter ever tried this again.
Exactly.
Now, here's the problem. I don't know if we're as smart as Peter was.
Exactly.
That's my problem. It don't say Peter never tried again. I just kind of figure he didn't. But I'm not as smart as Peter all too often. I'll get out there, Joe, and I sink, and I have to cry out for help. And God helps me. But you know what happens? Next time I get in the boat, I get excited, and I want to get out of the boat. Because I want a blessing. Instead of we need a blessing. Now look at what it says. After this, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Not until... Not until Peter was back where Christ originally told him to go to start with. Get in the boat. And it's, if you get in the boat to go to the other side, it means you're supposed to stay in the boat till you get to the other side.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, the wind ceased. Then, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. See, God's intended for us to worship him together.
Exactly.
None of us can sustain a private worship for the rest of our life. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. You understand? I can't handle it. I need the encouragement of other people. Not that you set the standard for me and say, here's where you got to be. That's not what encourages me. You know that? What encourages me is every time you've got on the water, just like me, you find out you begin to sink too. And you've had to cry out to Lord, Lord, save me. And then he puts us all back in the boat and we worship together.
Amen.
Isn't that what that teaches?
Yep.
That's what that teaches. Not that you can walk on water, but that when you do, when you try, it'll only last temporarily.
Yep.
You'll sink. And God will bring you right back to where you ought to be. That's with God's people. At least in here. Right? If not here physically. If you can't do it physically, it'll still be where? In here. Let me tell you something. When Peter started going down, don't you think he wished he was in the boat?
Yeah.
I bet you he thought, boy, if I'd just stayed in the boat. You know, they say your life flashes before your eyes. I don't know. I don't know if your life flashes before your eyes. But there's two things are true when you begin to go down. If you're a child of God, you'll cry out for Him to save you.
Yes, sir.
And He will save you. He won't put you back and let you continue to walk on the water. He'll put you back in the boat. Eventually.
Yes, sir.
Now that's God's business when that happens, right?
Yep.
He'll put you back in the boat. Father, as we continue together, may it be that we meditate upon these things, that we ponder these things and see that they are lessons for us. Not about how strong we are, but about how weak we are and how strong you are. I thank you and ask you to bless us with all that's necessary in Christ. Amen.